63. These are really, really precious, special portions of the Word of God. And the Psalms are a salve for weary souls and for those that need comfort from God. And I've always loved the Psalms' transparency. I've loved their being raw and unfiltered. But Psalm 62 and 63 are very encouraging. So I want to go through these and just make some comments. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. You know, all of life really is waiting. It's waiting to be with God. From the moment that you're converted, the moment that the light comes on in your heart in the gospel, and you understand that the righteousness that God requires of us, which we cannot produce and never will produce by our own works or by our own intentions or actions, he freely gives to us in the gospel as a free gift in the gospel. That's what Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And then really, you're kind of like, I would love to go to heaven now and be free from this world, but we have to wait. And that's okay. And that's a good thing. And that sanctifies us and makes us love God more. And it also glorifies his name as we continue loving him and continue clinging to him through the trials and difficulties of life, which most certainly happen to us. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. Notice this. As far as that which is the rock of our lives, that which is the thing that sustains us, never moves, and is our foundation upon which we stand, is only God. Nothing else. We may find comfort in certain things. We may be encouraged by certain things or discouraged by certain things. But the one thing that never changes, and the one thing that is always the same, is our rock, our salvation. God alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Moved, yeah, sometimes pushed around, waver in my faith some in terms of its strength and its confidence, sure, but not greatly. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 3, how long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. And that's talking about men that are opposed to the faith and opposed to God's people in this world. They'll attack us, but they eventually will be slain. Okay, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. You know, there's a fence back there in my yard. And it's got, you can tell it's been repaired over and over and over again because it's like five lines of barbed wire. And which, by the way, is nothing to those cows. If those cows want to come over here, they actually just walk right through the fence, and the wires will just kind of wrap around them and close back up, and they can walk wherever they want. But normally they stay over there. But there's tottering old parts of that fence that are just like, if you touch the board, it like will swing all the way over and come back. It's a tottering fence. That's what the wicked are like. They're a tottering fence. They have nothing. Okay, their arguments are foolishness. Their beliefs are in error. They believe lies and deception. They're like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. I mean, a wall that's leaning is going to fall down. But God is a rock. He is that foundation that cannot be moved, that the largest wave in the world can come crashing on it. And when the water kind of dissipates and flows away, the rock is still there. It's still sitting there. Verse 5, my soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. My hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. Notice he just said that in verse 2, and there he says it again. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. You know, earlier it said, I shall not be greatly moved. But here it just says, I shall not be moved. What does this show? I think it shows that the more we affirm and meditate on the character of God, the more sure we are of who he is. And the more certain we are of our salvation, the more clear it is to us that my hope and my expectation will never perish. It's not that I won't be greatly moved. I'm not going to be moved at all by the trials of life and by the heartache of life and by the difficulties of life. I'm just going to keep trusting in God and I will not be moved. He is my defense. He alone is my rock and my salvation. Verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. See there again, just reaffirming in different words, just praising and worshiping God. That's what the Psalms are. Now, I've encouraged a young guy at church to have a journal, not to gripe in and complain or whatever, but to just write your prayers in. Write down the things you think about God that you've learned from His Word, and saying them back to Him or writing them down, it really does help. It helps reinforce the character of who He is. It's a glorious thing to consider. It really is that the very same promises of salvation and justification and adoption, you know, so, and God's providence. I meet with people throughout the week, and we just sit and read Scripture together sometimes, or we just talk sometimes. And I do devotions here at home with the kids. I read the entirety of Romans 8 like 4 times 2 days ago, just doing devotions with someone, and I've been reading through Romans with a guy at church, and we read through Romans 8, the whole chapter. That was what we did this past Tuesday. And I was like, man, I just read that over and over and over and over again. And it's just such an awesome chapter of Scripture. I am convinced, Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, principalities, powers, nothing in all of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And it's an encouraging thing. It's such a glorious, wonderful thing. Those promises are always the same. Every generation, my children will trust in those promises. Their children will trust in those promises. That my children's children, if Jesus doesn't come back, will trust in those very same words, the same promises. They'll be sustained against the darkness by the same Psalms I'm reading right now. Verse 7, Psalm 62. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Now, verse 9 here is wonderful. Actually, two of my kids are part of a running club, and I go and try to run with them. But I tweaked my right knee playing soccer with my older kids. Get together on Friday nights and play soccer with like 25 to 30 of their friends from work and from other soccer teams they've played on. And I tweaked my right knee doing that two Fridays ago. So my right knee was bugging me. And I was, as we were jogging around this track at this school, I was like, all right, the knee is saying to stop. And when you're my age and your knee tells you to stop, you stop. So went into my car, grabbed my Bible, went up into the bleachers. And it was great. I might just do this from now on instead of running. Just sat there and read the Psalms. Just randomly opened, started at Psalm 58, just like flipped open my car Bible. And started reading at Psalm 58 and read for, you know, half hour straight, just read through a whole bunch of these Psalms. That's why we're doing Psalm 62 and 63, because they just really touched my heart and ministered to me. So anyway, so there you have God's providence for why I tweaked my right knee and hurt it a little bit. It's fine, though. I got to sit in the stands and not run. That was a good thing. And I got to read the Psalms. Listen to verse 9. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. The person who does not truly know God through Jesus Christ and through the one true saving gospel, weigh them all together, they're lighter than vapor. Men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree are a lie. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're highly esteemed by the world, so what? So what if you're going to hell? What difference does it make? If you're a person of low degree, you know, myself and one of my fellow elders went downtown Kingsport, and we were able to share the gospel with 4 different people and told them the whole story about Jesus Christ and that heaven's a free gift. You can't earn it or deserve it or merit it. And talked to these 3 guys that were sitting on this bench, and they looked like they were strung out on something. And they looked as wild-eyed and out of it as they could look. You know, one of them in particular looked like he actually said he had almost recently died. He said he, like 2 weeks before, he had nearly had a near-death experience. And there was, you know, a box of all these, like, what looked like cigarette butts. They might not have been cigarettes, though. But anyway, they were listening very attentively. One in particular, the one guy that didn't say anything, was listening in rapt attention to the gospel. And I was thinking, okay, men of low degree, men of high degree. Whether you talk to someone who's a successful businessman who has his stuff together and maybe even volunteers in his community and he's an upstanding citizen, yada, yada, yada. What difference does it make if you don't know Christ? What difference does it make? None. Men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they're weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. I mean, how heavy is vapor? Water vapor? I mean, it's got some weight, but it's highly vacuous. It just kind of floats away. And those kinds of images are used of man all the time. You see, the only way that our lives really have any the Hebrew term kavod, weight or significance, is if we live them for the one who created us and redeemed us. That's what gives our lives ultimate significance. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is such a privilege that whatever the trials are, and we all have them, whatever the crooks in the lot, whatever the things are that are just tearing at your soul and hurting you, that's God's invitation. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Give that stuff to God, and then go and live your life. Go love the people that you can love. Go work hard to be of service to your neighbor. Spend yourself for the good of other people. And love, if you're married, love your spouse. If you have children, raise those children to know and love the Lord, and know that God may have other plans for them. God might not save all your children. Or he might take them through some real serious wilderness wanderings before he saves them. And, you know, I certainly did. Went through that for several years before I was about 18. When I was 18, everything changed. Everything changed. God broke through and showed me what a wretch I was and showed me how much I needed Jesus Christ. So I cannot begin to express how thankful I am. No, someone's up. The lights are coming on. I don't know. Someone's over there. There might be a child coming out here soon. Okay, verse 9 again. Listen to that again one more time. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Don't worry. I mean, if you suddenly inherit a giant estate, it actually might not be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. You think of the proverb that says, an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. You know, God doesn't give us everything that we want because it would be bad for us to get everything we want. So don't sit, if your riches increase, if things increase, if things suddenly go well and you come into a lot of wealth or possessions, don't set your heart on those things. Don't set your heart on them. Make sure your heart still belongs to Jesus Christ and that you worship God first. You know who proved that his heart always belonged only to God? Job. Because when he lost everything, it didn't destroy him. His heart was not tied up with all that wealth and with all of his earthly blessings. It wasn't. His demeanor and his deportment under all that trial, under all that pain, showed that his heart belonged to God. Even when his wife turned on him and left him, told him to curse God and die, I can't imagine anything that would hurt me more than that. If my precious wife told me, why are you still clinging to God? Just curse him and die. And then she left me. That'd be a dagger through the soul. And yet Job would not let go of God. He just wouldn't. Verse 11 and 12. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Okay, wonderful, encouraging, great stuff. Now, Psalm 63. Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Isn't that wonderful? God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. There's that Hebrew term chesed. Chesed means loving kindness, covenant faithfulness. Your loving kindness is better than life. I'm just dying to know who's in the kitchen.
Who is that? Oh, it's my precious wife.
It's my wife. Because your loving kindness is better than life. my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. You see, the covenant faithfulness, the gospel promise of God is better than life. That's what verse 3 means. Your loving kindness is better than life. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Isn't that encouraging? I meditate on God. Think about him. Think about his love. Think about the mission for which he sent Jesus into the world. Think about the prayer that Jesus prayed. Think of John 17:24 as a verse of scripture I think about a lot. He says, Father, I desire that those whom you have given me may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory. Think, wow, God is going to bring us to be with Jesus, because Jesus prayed that it would happen. Jesus prayed, this is my desire, that those whom you have given me may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory. So when I die, that's where I'm going. Not because of my righteousness or my resolve or how well I did in my Christian life, but because Jesus prayed it would happen. He requested that of his Father. Jesus gets what he asks for. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. You know, that is one of the most oppressive things that Christians have to deal with day in and day out. I can't tell you. Recently, one of my kids got into a little fender bender. So I had to take one of the cars up to the body shop to get an estimate. And the guy that owns that body shop up there on Stone Drive in Kingsport here is a very godly Christian man. And I've been there a couple times to get body work done on cars that have been crashed or bumped or whatever. And he said something to me this past Monday that many, many, many people have said to me. They've said, you know, I don't watch the news anymore, or very little, and I don't listen to much anymore. I don't get on the internet and look at news feeds. I don't do much of that anymore. And you ask them, well, why not? It's just too oppressive. All the lies and all the propaganda and all the garbage. It's hard to listen to all that and to listen to all the lies about the Bible, listen to lies that people say about Christianity and about Jesus and about everything. Politics, it's very oppressive stuff. But isn't this encouraging? The very last phrase of Psalm 63, the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. That encourages my soul. One of the greatest things about the new heavens and the new earth is going to be no one will ever speak a word against Christ, against God's law, his truth, or anything about him ever again. We will never have to listen to the oppression of people blaspheming the precious name of Christ and his gospel, his people, and his church. We will never have to hear that again for the rest of eternity. I can't wait to get there. That's why that opening line of Psalm 62, this is what really hit me. Truly my soul silently waits for God. Okay, we have to wait. Take care of yourself. Be healthy, work hard at your calling and your job, suffer through the things that God has asked you to suffer through, go through the difficult times, but just keep waiting, wait patiently. And here, another, you know, this is one of the reasons it's good sometimes in God's providence. I'm in the same passages again and again because it really reinforces what the text means and says. Romans 8:18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Your sufferings are nothing compared to what's coming. The glory which shall be revealed in us. Those sufferings aren't even worthy to be compared. It's not like they'll be offset by the joy. No, I think the joy and the glory of what's coming when we die and when God brings the new heavens and the new earth, will make those sufferings disappear altogether. So don't worry. Cast your cares upon God. Don't worry about what you can't control. Pray. Give it to the Lord. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Thank you for watching or for listening. Pastor Patrick Hines of Bridwell Heights Presbyterian Church, and you've been listening to the Pulpit Supplemental Podcast. You can find us on the web at www.bridwellheightspca.org. Our sermons are streamed through sermon audio, and you can listen to that on the iTunes podcast version of Bridwell Heights Presbyterian Church. Feel free to join us any Sunday morning for worship at 11 a.m. sharp at 108 Bridwell Heights Road in Kingsport, Tennessee. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.